Beauty Pop, the show that'll keep you in the know about popular Hollywood trends in fashion, fitness, makeup, hair care, and skincare. Keeping it real and coming straight from the heart. Hi there, I'm your host, Melina Gay, and welcome to Beauty Pop.
Hey there, and welcome to another edition of Beauty Pop. I'm your host, Melina Gay, and today we're just going to jump right on into our interview with the fabulous cast of 215 Stilettos. Let me tell you a little bit about this show. 215 Stilettos is a reality show about seven women that started from the bottom, from the streets of Philadelphia, and they're working their way to the top of their games in their respective fields. Now, the show will showcase the real drama in their lives as we visit their family and friends and follow them through their business endeavors. We also see them working in their respective nonprofits as they find ways to give back to the community in the city of Philadelphia. Now, the city of brotherly love, sisterly affection is an understatement among these ladies, but there is always some drama. Not all sisters get along. So, everyone, please help me welcome the fabulous cast of 215 Stilettos. All right. Thank you,
Randy.
Hi. Well, let me just go quickly through the cast list, which I believe you are everyone, or pretty much everyone is here with us today. We have Phoenix. Is that how to pronounce your name, Phoenix?
Yes. S. Yep, with the S. Phoenix, exactly. Yep.
Okay. And Phoenix, you took a broken crayon and a torn piece of paper and wrote a note that you were leaving home at 11 years old and walked out the door and never returned. And you ran away and spent your childhood on the streets of Philadelphia, and you were in the foster care system from 11 to 21 in 22 different homes. And now you're the owner of GAOF Enterprises and the founder of the Phoenix Project, and you're working on an album. So we're going to talk to you a little bit about that. Leak is... She grew up in the heart of North Philadelphia with little to nothing and a mother who battled with alcoholism. It inspired her to do much better. So searching for outlets to express herself, she developed a passion for theater and the film, and for film. Unfortunately, tragedy struck when her mother had a stroke and became blind. At the same time, her aunt, who was the backbone of the family, passed away. So we're going to talk to Leek about what she is up to after overcoming those battles. And may I ask who else is on the call?
Actually, Felicia is here. Leek is not going to be with us today. Today we have Felicia Mackey and Shangira and Phoenix.
Okay. Well, it is a pleasure to speak with you ladies. Thank you for joining me here on Beauty Pop. And welcome, welcome, welcome all the way from Philadelphia.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. So let's start.
Chiming in. That was Shandira's voice you heard chiming in.
Shandira, it is a pleasure to meet all of you. Thank you, ladies. Well, this show sounds so exciting. So we're going to jump right in and let's talk about the show, and then we'll get more into your personal lives. I was able to share a little bit about Phoenix and the other young lady. So, Leek. We'll get to everyone else.
We can talk about, like, whatever you, any questions you have, we'll be happy to answer.
Well, my first question, I know what everyone listening is going to want to know, well, where did the concept for this show originally come from, and how was the gathering process? Like, how did you all get together to do this? So let's just start there.
Okay, I guess. This is Phoenix speaking. I guess I can answer that. Well, the concept came from just needing to tell a story. I'm not going to say the word real because all stories are real, but to tell a story about an underdog or underdogs, because a lot of the reality shows that show the glamorized women, they either married into money, or they're a wife spin off of something, or something where they were entitled. So, the childhood I had, you know, people always kept saying, you got to tell your story, you got to tell your story, you got to tell your story. So initially I was going to write a book, But the way life worked out, I did run into Mr. Norbert Brown Jr., our director, and we were on another project. And that project ended, and we decided to just move forward with the 215 Stilettos. He thought it was good quality reality television about real lives, of real women. Philadelphia is not an easy place to live in, as is not any big city. But, you know, to showcase the seven women who actually came from a struggle and today are working their way to the top in their respective fields, he thought it was a great idea. And the rounding up process is difficult in any city. You know, we've gone through a number of different ladies, and, you know, a project has to take on a life and an energy of its own. And that's, you know, what we waited for it to do. And the women, there are so many women who have so many powerful stories in every city. You know, they're not all born with silver spoons in their mouths, but at the end, we feel like, you know, you have poise and you can walk in a stiletto. The stiletto is the most sexy, most powerful shoe that a woman can wear. And so we keep looking for women who can earn their stilettos, as opposed to having it slipped on their foot like the Cinderella's fairy tale, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you, I like that phrase, earn their stilettos. So how, what is the judging process? Like, how did you all meet with each other, or was that through Norbert Brown Jr.?
Well, we had closed casting calls. All of our casting calls have been closed. The first group round of women during pre-production, we had some models. But ultimately, you would think it's really hard, or that it's easy to find concrete stories of women who really have been through something, but sometimes it isn't, and then you know, trying to match a look with a story, because we live in the society where we live in, where looks are everything, so you're matching women who have an appeal with a story, because, you know, if you go through things, life can beat you up, and then maybe you won't look so good. You know, so it was just a process, and we did a lot of closed casting calls, but the meat of the story has to be there for the show, because this is real to me. It's real to every other woman who's telling her story, and who really has been through something.
Okay. That is, so about how many, do you know how many ladies came to the casting calls, how many people wanted such an opportunity? And then for the ladies, the other ladies who were there, I'd like to hear from you. How was it when you found out that you were chosen to tell your story? Now, it's one thing to be chosen to be in a film or a television show where you're playing another person, and you make up, you have their life story that you create in your mind, your backstory, and then you're reading a script that was written by a writer, that was approved by a producer, that a director is going to direct you, and that's a whole other fantasy world. This is your life. So you're living out your life in front of the cameras. So just if you could explain to me, what was your feeling when you found out you were selected, and then what was your reaction when you were like, okay, I'm selected, I'm going to be on television, but this is about my life. Can you share that, please?
Hi, this is Felicia Mackey from the 215 Stilettos. Now, with me, I've been already doing stuff already in the industry life. So right about now, I'm kind of humble about it, of being more exposed to the world, you know. So right now, I'm just being humble about it. I just don't want to be all, you know, so excited or anything of that nature, because you start getting jittery and stuff start going to your head. So basically with me, I just try to stay grounded.
Okay, but when you were, okay, that's now, but when you first found out, because you knew you wanted to share your story, so you went to the casting, and then mm-hmm. when you found out that you were selected, or when you were told that you were selected to participate in the show, what was your reaction? What was your first reaction?
Well, I'm being thankful. I was very thankful to have this opportunity. I told the director I was very thankful, too. That I was very thankful to actually have an opportunity to do that, so... There's so many beautiful women in Philadelphia who has a story. A lot of women who, you know, they're beautiful, but behind their beauty is a lot of pain and suffering, and they have a story to tell, and I was the chosen one. So I believe we were all destined to be together right about now.
That's true. There are no accidents. There are no accidents. Mm-hmm. There are no coincidences. Just everything works together for a reason. And let me ask you one more question. So where do you see, like, how have you been able to benefit beautifully from being a part of the show? Aside from the natural sisterhood, what else have you learned about yourself and about others through being on the show?
I learned a lot being on the show, especially, like, when I got to hear, like, a lot of people's stories of how they had it hard back then. It made me cry because it made me feel like I could actually keep on going on because my situation is not as bad as a lot of other people's situations. I had a teary moment. I broke down and cried. So, and I actually texted the person and said, thank you. Like, Neil, I know that I can now make it because you made it, and you're still pushing on. You're still going on. So I'm very thankful to be around all the girls. We might all have our differences. We might all have our little drama. But at the end of the day, we all have something to give to each other. We can all uplift each other when it comes to certain things in life.
Yes,
we have great resources from each. From each person has a great resource, put it like that. We could go to this person for that resource. We could go to another person, you know, Phoenix. She knows a lot of things about resources, so we all can help each other.
Well, and what was your hardship going through? What was your story?
My story was, you know, I grew up in the projects and basically, you know, watching my mother take care of the people, kids. I'm her only biological top child. I can't even name or just number how many kids she took in that two-bedroom apartment, you know, knowing that she slept on my other twin-size bed, and I had foster, I had two brothers who came straight from the hospital, but they are known for my brothers, but my mom took them straight from the hospital because her sister was a schizophrenic, so they're really my cousins. But they don't know me for nothing else but their sister. They won't say nothing else. They won't call me their cousin. They'll just say I'm their sister. So, and then I have a sister. My mom took her from down the street from when we used to live in West Philadelphia. She took her from down the street. Her mom was on crack. And she took her from down the street, and we fed her and raised her until she went to college.
Wow.
And we didn't have any money. We did all this off of welfare.
Wow.
So,
welfare and the kindness of your heart and the love of the Lord that kept you going. I read that you would give up your bedroom every time a new person would come, and she took in.
Yeah, before girlfriends or anybody were abused, my mom gave her bedroom up. She gave her bedroom up easily, like it was nothing to it.
Wow. And these are people who were on alcohol, who had drug issues, who had alcohol, who were abused women also as well, and abused families?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
You said the people who you guys took in, they were not only from having issues with alcohol-addicted families and drug-addicted families, but they were also physically and mentally and sexually abused as well. Right?
And you know what? The reason why my mom was built to deal with these kids, because my mom was physically and mentally and sexually abused, that's why she was gifted to actually take on these other women. I was wondering, like, what in the heck? Like, how did she have the patience? I was always in la-la land. I was always, like, in my own world, and I accepted everybody. It's not like I was mad or angry for what she did. It's just that I didn't find out until I got older that was her issue, what she had going on for her as a child. And my grandma accepted her to come live with her. So I feel so like she kind of like inherited that from her grandmother for having a big heart like that.
Mm. Oh, that's so beautiful. That is so beautiful. The big heart just kept on going to help others. That's what it's about. And so obviously that was a wonderful influence on you as you're continuing to. And what are you doing with your life now?
Well, right about now I'm doing modeling and working on a lot of other projects, as far as like coming out with a lot of different things that I'm branding on and my website being built up and so on and so forth, whatever. So it's a lot of different things that are coming out by August, a lot of things I should see that I had vision for to be alive by then.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we'll keep up to date on you, and thank you so much. Phoenix, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your story? I started it with you wrote a note at 11 years old and said you were leaving home and never coming back, and that's what you did. And so from mm-hmm. 11 to 21, you were in 22 different foster homes?
Yes.
Oh, my gracious. Oh, okay. So can you tell us a little bit about your experiences there and then what inspired you to go on to do what you're doing now to help the community?
Okay. Well, the reason I ran away was because the home was abusive. My father's an ex-Marine, and my mom is schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic, full-blown. She still is to this day. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how my life is going to show up on camera because things are so disarray. But I left home because I knew that I should. You know, it was very... very, very bad, you know, physically, like where, you know, I would be brought to bleeding, like, you know, with the discipline and things like that. The schools knew. And so the first person I ever ran to was the teacher, the president of the Parent Teacher Association at my elementary school. But they lived on my block, so they heard, you know, when we were getting and, you know, things like that. So the neighbors knew. But, you know, there's always the fear of a child to tell, and then when the people leave, you have to be there. So you want to get it again. So I never brought anyone to my house. That's what caused me to leave, because I was afraid to bring them in, have them talk to my parents, and then leave me there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality, because they have to go home, and they leave you there, and they say, okay, I'll come tomorrow or some other day. No, you're not going to leave me here after I brought you in my house to tell them my parents.
Right.
So I just left. So that's how that worked out, and unfortunately, I was never adopted, and I never, like, I'm kind of the one that was raised by the village. Because there were so many different women in my life. So my name's Phoenix is for a reason. It's like it's a hybrid of two mythological gods. I put this Phoenix together with the Sphinx, and it's just my life is a testament of what I'm doing now and my music and everything, because I've seen so much, I've been through so much, I've changed hands so many times and been taught by so many different people, actually encountered so many different spirits. So that I am this creature today or whatever, you know, whatever it may be, but it's for the good, and it's for everyone's good. And so, you know, foster care is a very ugly, unhappy place to be growing up as a child. And so there are lots of stories to tell and very raw things to see if when the cameras start to follow me into my life, you know, with my brothers and sisters and things like that, or aunts and uncles. But a lot of whom I don't know. So what I want to really show is the power of what God can do in the heart of a person who's been damaged and who's been beat up and bruised by the world, where you still have an ability to love people. And that's something that I prayed for, because I didn't know love. I'm one of those. I didn't have the mother or the father, so I don't know maternal love or paternal love today. I don't know it. But I know how to love people. From a God standpoint. And I have a very good energy that I work on through meditation and through different types of spiritual healing, because it's necessary. And I think it's a great thing. And even though I have to show the sad stuff about my life, and there will be tears, I know how to disconnect. And there are things that can be done, like EFT tapping and things, to re-disconnect you from painful things in your life. But life is what it is, and there's good. You know, you have to pass through some darkness. I always believe we come from light. We have to pass through the dark womb to come back into the light again. You're reborn over and over again in life. That's just the reality of it, those of us who understand. And I'm okay with everything. I'm okay. I'm okay today. You know, I am. And that my story is one of winning, really.
It really is. It really is. And I love that. You have to pass through the darkness to get to the light. That is so profound and so beautiful and so true. I mean, how do you feel, and how does your family feel about having cameras follow you into the most private, most, you know, intimate moments of what you're going through. You know, as you can see on other reality shows, it's not always, you know, sunshine and roses, because you don't have a script writer who's saying, okay, this is the beginning, this is the middle, this is the end, everything is going to come out okay in the end. This is your life going on. So, mm-hmm. I mean, does that scare you all a little bit? Are you maybe intimidated by people?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm totally embarrassed, you know, about, you know, things with my mom being schizophrenic and things, stuff like that, because I never dealt with her. You know, I have issues, you know, about being angry and not being able to get her to tell me why certain things happened when I was a child and why she didn't intervene. And, you know, so I'm extremely nervous, and she's schizophrenic, so she's liable to say anything out of her mouth, you know. And then when it comes to my siblings, unfortunately, I've always been the black sheep, you know, the one that nobody likes. I don't know why. I gave a lot, but there are limits to giving, you know. There's been some very nasty things said, you know, but, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, nervous about some things. There will be some real rawness, but the beauty for me is I have music. And I have an ability to write what I feel in song. And that's the gift that God gave me. And he gave me a voice. And he's also allowing me to work that part of my career and to express myself. So much that's been closed up and I haven't been able to say, or some damage I may have experienced that I can't put into words, but I can put it in song. So I don't want to take up all the time.
Oh, don't worry about that. I mean, we are unfortunately running out of time, and I know there are a couple of other stilettos who are there.
Shandira is here, our youngest stiletto. She's here, and, yeah, she's definitely anxious to talk to you guys.
Oh, well, hey there. What is your name? I'm so sorry.
Shandira.
Shandira. Well, welcome to Beauty Pop, Shandira, and thank you for taking the time. Now, let's jump right on into your story. What has brought you to 215 Stilettos?
I had my kids at a young age. I had my first child at the age of 15. And I grew up in a home where my mom was abused, you know, by her kid's father. And it's kind of hard, you know, growing up in a home, you know, young and watching your mom get hit with irons and tossed on the steps and stuff like that. So I couldn't take no more, and I left. I stayed with my aunt. I ran away from home, and I stayed with my aunt, you know, and my aunt was really never home. And it felt like I didn't have no dad around. My mom was getting abused. So my aunt was over there at work, so I started looking for love in all the wrong places. I ended up pregnant at 15. I still went to school. I struggled through high school. You know, I graduated on time, and then I wound up getting pregnant again at 21. So it's just been a very, like, this is like an opportunity for me right now to tell my story and, you know, to be a mentor to girls out there now that's out there that's living this life as today, you know, to give them hope. You know, to be something, to do something with yourself. I mean, I changed my life around. Like, I'm doing actually good right now. I'm working on my clothing line. My two beautiful kids, you know, go to good schools. And I want to be role models, not just to... I want to be role models, not just to my kids, but to other young girls out there in the world today.
Well, for the ones that are listening, what would you say to them? What are some of the things that you learned going through that experience that you would, what, some words of encouragement? You know, this is your chance to be that role model.
I'm 25 now. If I could take it all back, I would. I mean, I would give education. Maybe instead of looking for love in all the wrong places, I probably would have gave, you know, my mind more to education, because right now in the world today, education is like the number one to success right now. So that would, if I could take it all back, that probably would be, you know, the most thing I would be very focused on, education. you know, finishing school, graduating, you know, even though I still finished school, I did summer college and everything. Like, it was just me and my two kids, and, you know, I still finished school. I still, you know, had hope and still got through it. So I just want to tell my story, you know.
Okay, well, that is your story is an inspiring story. It is, you know, and the fact that you want to tell people to get their education, a lot of people don't feel that education is important at a certain age. They feel like, what am I going to use trigonometry for? What am I going to use algebra for? And it's not necessarily that you're going to walk around. You never know what life is going to lead you, but it's the process of analyzing and figuring out solutions to things is what's important in the education process. It helps your, it develops your, to be able to logically solve problems. And as younger people, we don't see that. So the fact that you want to emphasize that and encourage young people, you know, and give hope, that's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. Are you, aside from the show, do you have a foundation or a business or, I think I read that you do, that you're doing something special in the community to do that?
I'm working on my clothing line for kids. It's called Bon Dior, and hopefully it should be up by next year. I'm working on it. It's like a lot of hard work. I never, you know, you could easily say I'm working on something, but when you get into the effect of doing it, it's like, you know, you got your head chopped off at most of the time. But it's coming along pretty good. It really is. Also, probably not at this moment because the clothing line is so, you know, hectic, but I also wanted to do things for, like, children, like kids, like giving back to teenagers, like a big sister type thing, non-profit organization. But I'm giving back to kids.
That, yes, that's what I read. And that's beautiful. That is beautiful because when you don't have, I mean, do you think that you would have done things differently if you had had an older sister or someone to sit down and tell you, look, this is what you need to do. You need to get your grades right. You need to be, would you have done things differently if someone, if you knew, if you had felt that you had someone to trust that you could talk to?
Yes, absolutely. Even on a reality show, I mean, it's six beautiful women besides myself. And these women are still, like, I mean, even though I'm 25 and I'm doing good, I'm on the right track, sometimes I still need that guidance. I mean, and you see that on the show, you know, you see me talking to, you know, Felicia and Phoenix and, you know, Lolita, because these women are such beautiful women. And, you know, I can still learn a lot from them because, remember, I'm the youngest one on the show, so it's still things I don't know or even in the business aspect of things, like I'm still unsure of some things. So I'm grateful to be around these women, you know, because I didn't have that guidance when I was young. And now to have it is so precious. And, you know, I can just learn from it and keep going in life.
Oh, that's what we hope for everyone. That the benefit of this show is that people can learn and grow and improve their lives. And I just want to say thank you, ladies, for joining me today on Beauty Pop. I wish you all the...
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. I wish you all the success in the world, in your personal lives and in your professional lives. And thank you for inspiring people and giving them hope. Thank you for taking off your inhibitions and your fears and just saying, this is what it was, this is who I am. No judgment, but this is.
Yes.
Learn from me, and I'm a role model.
Right.
So I just want to say thank you so much, and a big shout-out to Mr. Nova Brown, Jr., for creating this fabulous show. He's the writer and the director and the producer, along with Miguel Nunez. And Nova Brown, Jr. will also be having a show on Easy Way Broadcasting, talking with various directors and producers in this fabulous world of entertainment in which we have chosen to make a living. So, big shouts to Nobert. Everyone will stay tuned for more information on when his show will be hitting the airwaves. And in the meantime, everyone take care. And thank you so much for tuning into Beauty Pop today. And remember, there is no one way to be beautiful. We are all beautiful because true beauty comes from within. Take care and see you next week on Beauty Pop.
the first time you've shown up to fight with me. Half four in the morning, you're brave when you're drinking, so say what you came here to say. Never had a warning that you keep it all inside, yeah. I don't wanna make you hide anything. Tell me that I'm wrong if I am. I know we can't agree on everything.